laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Stucky here. This is Degen and Juice, episode 6. Week 6, part 1. I could have the weeks wrong. I'm getting confused with the college weeks different than the NFL week. I don't know. It's the early week podcast. I'm here with Colin Wilson, as always. Colin, how's everything with you?
I'm trying to get over that whole Chiefs game. That was ridiculous. Even that, we had a week 0 in college football. So trying to keep track of, like, you know, it'd be nice if they would just, you know, marry the weeks together so we don't have to mix up our NFL and our college football. So,
yeah, it confuses me, but it's neither here nor there. Quick word on everything that happened in Vegas in actual real life. Thoughts are with anyone affected directly or indirectly with what happened there. Nothing I can really say more than that. It's horrifying, and thoughts are especially with all the people that I know that are out there. The beat tonight, I had the under. I played it for a half unit. I was driving back from New York City and listened to the entire game on XM and then walked in. And I was watching it on my phone as well at times, streaming. And then the only play I saw on my TV was that play. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But I've had so many scoop and scores, and I was kind of numb to it. So I just kind of shrugged. I was like,
They never covered. They were never covering the entire game. I mean, it was a great live betting opportunity. I got in, Redskins got up 10-0, and they were being, the Chiefs were being offered plus 110 money line. So I was happy to get in there, but that cover at the end, they never covered the entire game until right then.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I don't get too, and people always say, you have to, cause they spiked the ball with 8 seconds left and they left time for that to happen. But also they left time for Washington. People always say bad snap, you can call timeout and then re-kick it. That literally has never happened. When have you ever seen an NFL team have a bad snap on the field goal and then have to call a timeout? Never. I've never seen it once, but you've seen Miracle Meadowlands. You've seen teams, You know, Miami, Duke. You've seen that happen before. You never see the botch snap and then call timeout. Like, you shouldn't leave any time on the clock. You're an NFL team, especially when the game's tied and you're going to kick the field goal. That should end the game.
Well, not only that, but I mean, aren't there rules against there being a touchdown scored right there? I mean, literally, if you fumble it, the game's over. If you lateral it and it hits the ground, the game's over. So the fact that the ball never hit the ground, it's just crazy that the fumble, like, I figured if it in the NFL, right, if it hits the ground and you're trying this lateral bullshit all the way back to the end of the field, you know, I just didn't figure maybe the defense could, you know, progress the ball any farther to score a touchdown there, since the offense obviously can't lay it on the ground or else the game's over.
It's screwed up. It was sickening. So I have a knot in my stomach. And the main reason is because those things usually like tend to been running really well. There's usually like signs. I know they're not, but I just always think in that larger sense. But anyway, it was a really good weekend. I was feeling really good before 7 minutes ago. But I had a really good college weekend. I think that you did as well. Just a quick recap on the overall landscape. Favorites went 32-22. So whenever I have a good weekend and favorites do that well, I think that I did something right. We had two pretty big double-digit moneyline underdogs win outright in Maryland and Troy, which we'll get into later. Before we get into, you know, some of our bets to recap, looking back at last weekend and looking at the weekday games, I did want to go through. First, I'll comment on my Ravens. They suck. Under was easy. They get to go to the Raiders now. Maybe Carr's hurt, but they're not. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're done. Their offense is so bad. But in regards to your Hogs, how was that game? I didn't really see much. It wasn't a game I was like, ooh, I got to watch this. And what are your thoughts going into this weekend in South Carolina?
It certainly wasn't worth watching. It was a fun one to take my kids to so that they could, you know, see the Hogs live. But, you know, I didn't learn anything new about the Razorbacks I didn't already know. So the spread came all the way down to, it was 16.5. It ended at 18. The game landed on 18. I mean, it was on 18 almost immediately in the second quarter, but New Mexico State showed up. They collected their paycheck. And then they just left gifts all over the field. They had an end zone INT. They had a player ejected in the first quarter for targeting after sacking Austin Allen. You know, the only positives, and Arkansas went for it on fourth down every time. They didn't have one field goal attempt. So it was a ridiculous effort just to try and get the cover. The only good news is New Mexico State only rushed for 11 yards, and they didn't allow, you know, Arkansas didn't allow any sacks on Austin Allen, which I guess is a positive. This South Carolina thing, I don't even know where to start when it comes to capping this. And the reason is because South Carolina, you know, I had them plus 10.5 on the Sports Action app this past week, and it was covering comfortably. And A&M roared back to come back in that game and win that game after I think South Carolina had a 10-point lead in that game. So South Carolina has had some really bogus box scores leading up to you know, right now, and they're giving up, you know, double-digit leads to Texas A&M. And at the same time, I know what Arkansas's warts are. And I'm staring at the spread, and I'm thinking Arkansas is favored on the road in an SEC game. It's just too good to be true. So I can't imagine I'll have a play on this game this week.
Well, you're not going, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to Columbia, South Carolina. No way.
Okay. Well, then I believe you then that you might not bet it. Fair enough. So one of the other things on a non-football topic is Jordan and I will be starting to preview college basketball this week. Give any commentary on your Arkansas Hoop Squad?
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up last week, but I mean, I'm really excited about you and Jordan. I am not a basketball capper, but I'm a monster college basketball fan of the Razorbacks because when I was a freshman, we were the national champions. So, you know, Corliss, we got
Williamson. Corliss
and Scotty and Corey Beck, and I could just, you know,
yeah, team was awesome.
Stewart. So, you know, we got Barford and Mason, Macon coming back, Daryl Macon coming back, and they didn't grade well in the NFL draft ranking or NFL.
I'm
just stuck on football. So in the NBA, they didn't get good NBA draft grade. So they came back and Moses Kingsley's out, but Arkansas is terrible at defense. So I was looking at their stats. They allowed 107.8 points allowed per 100 possessions, which is almost last in the SEC and pretty bad in the nation. And Mike Anderson has terrible defensive rebounding teams. So if the Hogs can play any defense at all, I love the experience they got coming back. But you and Jordan are much, much better cappers and much better analysis at this.
Well, what's your early, I don't know, what's the feel in, you know, kind of Hog Nation of the, or just your own sense of the ceiling for this team? So is it, you know, is it a Sweet 16? Is it even further? Is it just getting to the tournament? What is your expected ceiling for this team?
Right, because we made the round of 32, and for guys, for anyone that doesn't remember, you know, we Adriel Bailey took a charge. We thought it should have gone our way and that we should have beaten UNC to make it to the Sweet 16 last year. But that didn't happen. Tar Heels got a really, I mean, ridiculous. They escaped. But I think the expectation is we've at least got to make the round of 32 again. Mike Anderson was on the hot seat forever with us for about 2 years because we weren't getting anything done. But last year's run at the end of the year was fantastic. He's off the hot seat. The expectation is at least a round of 32. We got enough experience to come back, but let's not kid ourselves. We don't have the recruits that Kentucky has. I mean, I keep reading that Kentucky's going to have like an all-time Kentucky team this year. So, you know, I don't have any more expectations other than making the Sweet 16. If we make the Sweet 16, I would be more than happy. So round of 32, I think, is the goal.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so let's get into some football from this past weekend. Go with the format that we usually do for the first part of the Gen and Juice podcast each week. And again, you can find that on the Sports Action app and on Audio Boom and iTunes eventually. Let's start with your worst call of the weekend. I think I know what yours is going to be because I told you all week, do not bet Tennessee. I tried to convince you not to.
I know.
That's mine. So I'll throw that out there right now. I laughed at myself from this. They got over the 50 twice and fumbled both times. I think that's what I read. The only two times they were over the 50. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. And they're an absolute dumpster fire. I wish I could bet the buy against them this week. But is that yours or do you have something else that you want
to? No, I expunged Tennessee from all of my notes because I said on this podcast last week, I can't find a mathematical reason to take them. And then I finished the CW9 and I threw them in the CW9. And then that was dumb. It was being too contrarian, trying to be too cute. So they're not my worst call. My worst call of the week by far is Minnesota because they've just been running it down people's throats. And the fact that Maryland was coming in with, you know, not looking too good off UCF, losing their second quarterback.
That's a bad loss, man. Third string quarterback.
String quarterback, man. Max, I'm going to say it. Bortenschlager.
Yeah.
Bortenschlager. So the Terps, I mean, good for you guys. You guys look like, you know, you're, what are they, 30 point dogs to Ohio State? I mean, I don't know if I'm going to entertain this. I'm going to have to go deeper into this. But Bortenschlager went for 154, two TDs. And for me, touting the last 2 weeks that Minnesota has a great rush defense, they allowed 262 to Maryland. And so, you know, back to the drawing board with the Gophers.
Yeah, they looked horrific. I don't know if they were just – they completely overlooked Maryland and, you know, just came out and expected to win that game. And I don't know. But – yeah, that game didn't go as I expected either. Best call of the weekend?
Has to be UNLV. I said...
Truck.
I said, I said, if you cannot stop their rush, they are going to run all over you. And that was... What happened to that point spread? It opened 7.5 on BetOnline.
Closed at 17-ish, I think?
Closed at 17. And even at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy back. I've pinged it 3 times now at 7.5, 9.5, like 11... And I'm not going to buy back on San Jose State because they don't have a shot in hell to cover these guys. We're going to get into a little bit later about San Diego State. But if you cannot defend the run, UNLV will eat you alive.
Yep, completely agree. And I would say my best call of the weekend. I love when a situational spot just blossoms in front of your eyes. Like it was my favorite last week was UMass against Tennessee. This week it was Eastern Michigan against Kentucky, who just came out like Tennessee did in a similar spot.
They kicked their ass all the way through. They kicked Kentucky's ass in the box score. It was not even close.
Yep. Yeah, so that was a no sweat, just situational gem. And I would say Northern Illinois is up there too, but we'll get to San Diego State later. How about your three things that you learned from this past weekend?
So, you know, it ties right into what we just said about San Diego State. So I'll save San Diego State, but NIU lost 34-28. So you expect a MAC team to lose out there to San Diego State, but they only lost by 6. But the box score says a completely different story. They outgained San Diego State 417-263. That's a huge gap that Northern Illinois put up on them. They ran for 155 yards on San Diego State's defense and turnovers. So NIU lost by 6, and they gave up 4 turnovers, net turnovers. That is amazing that San Diego State had 4 gifts, and they only won the game by 6 points. So I think that says more about San Diego State than it does NIU. Number two.
Just to go before you get on to number two, that game, I had Northern Illinois, so I watched that entire game. Northern Illinois, too, played Santa, whatever his name is, Katarina, at quarterback, but their starter was out. That first half in that game was probably the silliest first half I've ever seen in my entire life. So San Diego State at the half of that game, so they won 34-28. You know, they scored 3 points in the second half. They were up 31-14 at the half. They had 80 yards. They had 31 points on 80 yards. They had 80 total yards of offense. I'm not kidding. The most efficient half from a yardage perspective I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Northern Illinois was, you know, the first play of the game, San Diego State returned a kick for a touchdown. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. Then there was a turnover and then, you know, a 33-yard pass for San Diego State. Then Northern Illinois threw a pick 6. And then San Diego State scored after another turnover. I mean, it was insane. They didn't get 100 yards in the first half and they had 30 points. They had, you know, their first 7 rushes, they rushed for 0 yards. I mean, Northern Illinois dominated that game. They should have won. I'm glad that they did cover. But, yeah, you're right. I think that it does say something about San Diego State, and we'll get into that San Diego State-UNLV game later this week. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. A 31 points on 80 yards is ridiculous, but I digress. Your second thing that you learned?
I'll be short on this one. UCF is tremendous. There are certain teams, power rating wise, I track all my power ratings when I adjust them up and down. There are certain teams where I haven't found a floor. There are certain teams I haven't found a ceiling. I haven't found Central Florida's ceiling. I thought Memphis was a quality team. I thought Memphis was a good team. I still think Memphis is a good team. I know that that UCLA game, that that was just the spot, and it was an early morning kick for them. I don't care. Memphis is still a quality team, and UCF boat raced them. It was a clown show. So, you know, UCF has made some good teams, Maryland included, look really bad. So Scott Frost, whatever job he wants in Power Five, he's probably going to get it. So,
well, speaking of ceilings and floors, I'll skip ahead just to this before you get to your third thing. Two teams that you don't have a floor established for play each other on Friday night. I'm just looking for you to tell me I don't have to bet BYU again. Boise, BYU, are you even going anywhere near that game?
I said on this podcast many times, I won't put a dime on either of those teams. And the fact that BYU is getting eight, I'm sitting here like, eight's a lot of points for Boise to try to be covering. So I don't know. I can't get involved. Man. I'm going to end up on BYU. I know I am.
I mean, they are so bad. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at eight. I'm like, this is way too many, but I'm like, I can't do it. Anyway, we'll get to the weekday games in a second. How about your third thing that you learned?
The third thing was pretty easy. Bama, you know, I took 27.5 on the Sports Action app, and I questioned about buying out all week because it kind of hung around 28. I thought I'd get a couple more points out of it. But, you know, as the week went along, Saban would end practice, and then he wouldn't – the only questions he had to answer was Ole Miss has beaten you twice out of the last 3 years. Ole Miss has beaten you twice out of the last 3 years. Tell us what you think about that. And I think he got more pissed off as the week went. And the thing is when you seem to challenge Alabama, like before the Vanderbilt game, everybody's saying, you know, we don't know if this is the real Alabama team. We don't know if they can still put it up on teams. And boom, they just murder Vanderbilt. And now this, you know, this past week, Ole Miss beat you twice in the last 3 years. No other team, you know, you've lost three times in the last 3 years and two of them to Ole Miss. And he just named his number again against Ole Miss. So I'm looking forward. I don't have to talk that much about LSU, but LSU is not the same LSU. They got Arkansas on the list. This schedule is a complete cakewalk. They're throwing it in cruise control until the Auburn game, period.
Well, I mean, I think that the scary game, the only scary game until Auburn, is at Miss State. Just the atmosphere, a running quarterback. Yeah, I mean, Miss State would have to play perfect, but that's it. That's the only competitive game. They are home against Tennessee. I'm sure that'll be a thriller. I mean, yeah, they match up really, really well with Miss State. So, I mean, but it's, you know, Stark Vegas, probably a night game. But, yeah, I mean,
right.
Texas A&M, home against Arkansas, home against Tennessee, bye, home against LSU. At Miss State, home against Mercer. I'll end up taking Mercer in that spot. I can see myself now. But
well, they haven't covered against non-Power Five teams anyways. Nick Saban never does, so it's a perfect spot for Mercer.
Yeah, I mean they're because they won't be showing anything. Yeah, they'll be resting. I'll be on the Bears. So of my three things, I'll piggyback off that Alabama because one of my points was about Colorado State, who we were both on Saturday, which ended at like 3:30 in the morning. It was beautiful and it was never a sweat. But I think that Colorado State, to me, is one of the most, underrated, or I think they're the best, one of the best two-loss teams in the country. And if you think about it, they put up 23 points at Bama, right? Bama's other games, they played Florida State, Fresno, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. Those four teams, Florida State, Fresno, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss, have put up a total combined 20 points in those four games. And Colorado State put up 23. You know, Colorado State, they go to Colorado State's losses are to at Colorado. They beat Oregon State by 30. They go to Hawaii, win by 30. Their losses are at Bama by 18, and they put up 23 points. And then at Colorado, in a game they just got robbed, like just at gunpoint, robbed by the refs, by the Pac-12 refs. I mean, Colorado State, I think, is an undervalued team right now from a betting perspective. Thoughts?
Colorado State was a team that I bought on Bet Online Opener at 7.5, and it went down to 6. Did it close?
Yeah, weird Hawaii stuff. Yeah, I think it closed at 6.5.
Yeah, and I read that line. I was like, oh shit, this is kind of, it reminded me of Auburn. I bought Auburn at 9.5, and I think that thing fell down to 7 or 7.5. So I had two games this week where my closing line, if you're tracking it, I didn't do very well. And Colorado State was one of them, and it just didn't matter. It never mattered from the very beginning. And you're right about that Alabama game. I had Colorado State the first half. I had Colorado State the full game. And most of that was because of all the injuries that that Alabama took in the linebacking court. I knew Nick Stevens could take advantage of that. That, you know, I took them. My future on Colorado State was over 7.5, and it wasn't to win the Mountain West because, you know, there was a day when I thought Wyoming was actually worth a shit. So, I think the 7.5 is going to cover just fine. I'm actually I'm very interested in this week, and we should talk more about it in a couple days, but Colorado State on back-to-back travels going to Utah State, and that spread is at a funky 7.5, 8, which I think is juiced up just a little bit too much. I got my eye on that game because it just feels like a bad spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, I look at their schedule. If they would have got that Colorado game, not stolen from them. Yeah, I mean, that is a tough spot, and back consecutive road games, you know, with one being the first being Hawaii is tough. But then they're home against Nevada, then at New Mexico, home against Air Force, at Wyoming, home against Boise, and home against San Jose State. The box score for that Colorado State Hawaii game, Nick Stevens was 18-22, 351 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no picks. But my guy, one of my favorite players in the country, Michael Gallup, who will play on Sundays, and I think will be really productive. He had 8 catches for 212 yards against Hawaii, just absolutely dominated. But yeah, we can talk more about that spot later.
Cowboys need to draft him because they need a wide receiver pretty bad.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's you can find these you know, one of the best draft picks, it looks like, is the number one offense in the NFL is the St. Louis Rams, and they drafted that kid Cooper Kupp out of Eastern Washington, right? Eastern Washington, mm-hmm. I think. And mm-hmm. he's been unbelievable for them. So I think Gallup can fit kind of in that same mold for an NFL team. Anyway, so yeah, I love this Colorado State team. Now, there's not a lot of great spots. I mean, you're going to have to lay point. They play a shitty schedule, but I'm glad we were able to get them versus Hawaii. Other two things that I learned, I mean, I give up on Clemson. I said they're going to take my money. Just take my money. I mean, I'm doing well in college football this year, so I feel like I give a donation to the Clemson gods, and then they make sure that I'm winning my other bets. Maybe, I don't know. But, of course, I don't fade them against UMass. Or Boston College, excuse me, and then they don't cover, and then, you know, they cover against Votech again. I thought the back door was open for a second, but of course not. That team is scary good. And then the third thing I learned is Auburn starting to put it together. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, Auburn. I said last week that they put up 51 points on Mizzou, but who can't put up that many points on Mizzou? They turned around and did it again. They've offensively figured it out. I don't know if it's having offensive coordinators, Chip Lindsey, up in the box or having them on the ground. I don't know what's going on, his relationship with Malzahn, but obviously they have figured something out. Now, I know it was Miss State's third high-profile game in a row, but I think Auburn's figured it out. I think they're the team that we thought they were going to be preseason. And so, you know, to backtrack, I think you're right on Auburn. I think they figured it out. They've got a little bit tougher schedule between now and the Bama game. But that Bama game is going to be everything to them, you know, and I expect that to be, you know, I think the game of the year line was 4. So I bet you it is somewhere around there when we get there. To backtrack back on your Clemson, you know, their schedule coming up, this Wake game intrigues the hell out of me. I mean, I know Wake just lost this game against Florida State, but Wake offensively, I wonder if Clemson's going to be on any kind of hangover mode. Now, I know they're playing at home.
Oh, God. You're going to make me fade Clemson again?
I don't know. I'm just looking at Wake, and I'm thinking, how many points can these guys keep putting up? But, you know, it's scheduled to be an 11 a.m. game. It's a real sleepy spot for somebody. It might not be Wake. It could be Clemson that's in a sleepy spot for that defense. I don't know. But, you know, looking at the rest of their schedule, at NC State on November 4th, that could be a lot of fun. And that predates November 11th against Florida State. So there's a couple hurdles to jump in there. But power rating wise, I've got them only 3 points behind Alabama now. They are number 2 in the nation in my power ratings. So
I have a 100% foolproof system with Clemson. If you go to the Sports Action app, probably like 5 minutes before game time, and then there's this guy in the follow section, Stucky 2. And then if you look at his picks, if he bet against Clemson, then bet on Clemson. If he didn't bet the game, then bet against Clemson. Hasn't lost this year and won't lose the rest of the year.
My Twitter timeline was full of people throwing up a backdoor cover animated GIFs, you know, because they were looking for that Virginia Tech backdoor cover and just couldn't get there.
Yeah, of course not. So let's go through the top 25 games that we didn't cover. Let's start with the weekday games from last week. Miami absolutely just bludgeoning Duke 31-6. With how Florida State looks now, their schedule, we all knew that Virginia Tech game was going to be big, but this game now looks a lot more winnable. You know, that Fort Tech game, they could be playing to get in the discussion to go to a playoff if obviously they go on to win the conference championship. But is Miami moving up in your power ratings?
Yeah, they are. And I think, I got the chance to go on the Bang the Book podcast this morning. And I told Adam Burke, the host, I said, what's amazing to me is that Miami's defense is actually outside the FBS top 100, and their offense is ranked 11th in the nation. And before the season, everybody could talk about was how Miami's defense was all NFL caliber, and no, everybody had the questions about the offense. It's been the exact opposite of that. So I'm interested to get more. They've only had they've had two less games than most of the other teams, or one less game. So I'm interested to get more of a sample size out of these guys to see if that evens out.
Yeah, I was impressed. I've been impressed at times with Rozier and how he throws the ball. But the big thing is with Mark Walton, their star running back. He's been hurt, and then he went down twice. And I don't even know why Rick had him in at the end of the game running the clock out against Duke, and he went down and screaming in pain. But, in the week before, I'm done. He thought his career was over in an injury. His health is really important to them. But, you're right. Amon Richards, he's getting healthier at receiver, and he's electric. So that offense is a lot better than I thought it would be. So we'll get into that Miami Florida State game later in the week. Your Friday night top 25 matchup featured a upset of Washington State Wazoo in the Palouse. All the announcers love saying the Palouse. Leach's boys got it done. What does this mean for Wazoo? Are they a legit contender? I want to bet Oregon this week, by the way. We'll talk about that later in the week. And what does this mean for USC going forward?
So for Wazoo, their schedule is really tough coming up. They haven't even really tipped the iceberg of what they've got to face up in the north. So I don't think that they can keep pulling this off. They had a great spot. USC was on back-to-back travel. USC was on a short week. Washington State, give them credit. They beat them in the box score. They beat them on the field. They caught all these, little things that USC's had against Texas and had against Cal. Washington State was able to seal the deal, so give credit to Wazoo. I don't think they can keep it up. I don't think they win the North, but at least we know they can still be pesky at home in a good spot. USC, they reopened for national championship at 12-1, and I've got plenty of money on them at 9-1 to win the national championship. I knew that they were going to be able to give one up this year. You're going to be able to give a game up, still win your conference, and still go to the playoff this year. So, for the rest of the season, we're looking at they go home, get some cooking against Oregon State and against Utah, but they still have to win at Notre Dame now. They have to win at Arizona State, which looks a little bit more trickier than it did before. Arizona at home is going to be fine. UCLA at home should be fine. At Colorado, that's still a little tricky. So I think Notre Dame and Colorado on the road are that's their shot to get into a quarterfinal game, which is the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, speaking of Wazoo, they have the oddest schedule in the country. They haven't played a road game yet. They've played five home games. They're 5-0. They haven't left Pullman. They've stayed at home. Now they go at Oregon, at Cal. I think they lose at Oregon, but it's a winnable game. And then they go to Cal, then they're home against Colorado, probably win that game. Then they're at Arizona, and then they finish home against Stanford, at Utah. And then they do have a bye week, second to last week, and then they're at Washington. So, at least they get a bye, but they close home against Stanford, then at Utah and at Washington. They haven't left home yet. A lot of the perception on them, I think, can be a little overblown. We haven't even seen anything that they've done on the road, and they really should have lost at home. Could have easily lost at home to USC, and really should have lost at home to Boise State.
They have no rushing game whatsoever. When a team is able to completely keep Falk within the tackles and shut him down, they're in deep shit.
Yeah. So the one of the games that I'll feature on the Moose article tomorrow, and now I have two I have to add in there, in the Chiefs and the under, the Skins and the under. Vanderbilt not covering was brutal. Florida gets another crazy last-second cover. They just keep finding a way to escape with wins.
Coastal.
Coastal will be there. That's number one. South Florida, they rolled East Carolina. Oh, my God. This team just plays no one every week. Wisconsin escaped Northwestern. My boys' national championship shot is done. NC State, kind of sleepy, beat Syracuse. Louisville rolled Murray State. This Georgia, we talked about how Tennessee – this is a question that I wanted to ask you. Right. I mean, I think Georgia's going to even get more overvalued than they already are. Because I don't really think that game was about Georgia. I think it was just about Tennessee essentially quitting. But you brought this up on a few other podcasts, and it was the looking at the odds for the first SEC coach to go down. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which is a fascinating race now because you have Orgeron. There's just a lot of money involved. And then now you have, Butch, which is, it's a dumpster fire right now after that. And then you have Odom. I mean, what are you seeing? Do you have any updated feel for the first one to go?
Yeah, so Sumlin and Bielema get off a little bit. They get off the chart a little bit, and I didn't think their odds were that high anyways. I'm still on the Odom train. I still think Missouri, who has generally kept it close and beaten Kentucky in the past, they're double-digit dogs this week to Kentucky on the road. I think Odom, he's still my front runner. I know he's not a runner in the odds, but I just think this Butch thing, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. You lost some real all-star talent at the skill positions. So I think he survives at least to the end of the year. I'll still go with Odom, who has a very cancerous locker room and, defensive coordinators being fired. And in the past, we've had quarterbacks dealing cocaine on campus. So I don't know. I think I'm still going to run with Odom, but man, it's a lot of fun to watch. Almost everybody's name's popping up.
Yeah. It's getting ugly for some of those programs. Another top 25, a team just in the top 25, we mentioned them earlier, and they rolled. And that was Central Florida holding Memphis to 13 points a week after they won at Maryland, 38-10. So maybe Bortenslager is decent, but he just looked that bad because the UCF defense is that good. They're at Cincy, home against ECU, at Navy, some tricky, then home against Austin Peay, then at SMU. And they do close the year against South Florida. From what you've seen with this team, is there a chance they run the table?
I'll say yes, because I do think they could beat South Florida. Is also hitting a beat of their own. I know it was East Carolina, but this has been happening. They stumbled the first two or three weeks. Like, they just could not get the offense in gear. They couldn't get Quentin Flowers going. They couldn't, they've lost a star running back and some wide receivers too. South Florida, I think, has really found their rhythm on offense. So that game against Central Florida is going to be crazy. I think right now, if I power rated it, it would only be like South Florida by two on a neutral field. Yeah, looking at it right now, 2 points on a neutral field. So that game is going to be fantastic. And the winner of that should have no problem beating a Memphis or a Tulsa, or I don't think Houston's even close. So I don't know what's going on the other side of the conference, but definitely the winner of the Central Florida South Florida game is a team that's going to be in New Year's Six probably.
What are the updated futures odds for those two? Are they because I would think if there's a drastic difference between the two, if UCF, for example, is a lot higher, then yeah, I think that they'd be worth a shot in some sense, because I think that I agree with you that both those teams probably should be about equal, and it would come down to that last game. But something we'll have to check out. So those are some of the – well, I guess we'll have to touch on this, a team that's not on the top 25 any longer. This was my – I think I might have forgotten to ask you this. Your bet regret of the weekend, mine was not betting Troy. So I talked about it, said I wanted to get 21, didn't bet it. They won outright at LSU. For LSU's homecoming. The funny thing is you don't hear Matt Canada's name. You'll hear Orgeron. But, can we blame some of these coordinators that are, they're paying all this money to? You know, I think Orgeron deserves blame too. But like I made the point before, the coordinators would be getting all the credit if they were doing well. But LSU goes down. I mean, they're in trouble, right?
But I don't know why it is you and I aren't like on a yacht somewhere when we talked all preseason about Orgeron as a head coach. We should have just been laying money line against LSU since the season started. I don't think he's in trouble because everything I hear coming out of that camp is positive. But, you know, they're saying that this is a long-term commitment to Coach O and what they're doing and to Matt Canada. But, you know, that fan base can get fired up pretty fast. And when somebody like Scott Frost starts doing these kinds of things at UCF, that LSU fan base is going to look at 50 points weekly against, you know, C-plus grade teams, and they're going to say, well, that's the kind of offense, that's the kind of team that I want here. And I don't know. We're going to find out. I mean, I keep hearing positive things out of LSU. They want to keep Coach O, but I'm not sure that's going to stick around very long, especially after Bama thumps them for 50.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on what goes down in Baton Rouge. So let's get to some of these weekday games. We actually have our first Wednesday game this week, and it involves – I mean, it's a thriller, everyone. Calm down. It's a 1-2 Arkansas State at 0-3 Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern's only played three games. They started at Auburn, then they lost at home to New Hampshire, who actually has more wins as an FCS school, more wins over FBS teams than any other FCS school in the last 10 years. But then they had a bye, then they went to Indiana on the 23rd, and then they didn't play this past Saturday, and now they play on Wednesday, and they've only played three games. But they're 0-3. Arkansas State is coming off a bye also. So the last time they played was on the 23rd when they lost at SMU. This game is disgusting on our first Wednesday game on ESPN2. It's degenerate city, but do you see anything here?
It is. So I released Sunday morning coffee yesterday morning. I had Georgia Southern plus 7.5. The line, lo and behold, is 7. So the number looks to be exactly spot on. Arkansas State is taking in plenty of tickets, plenty of money, and the line is not budging. It looks like Arkansas State's quarterback, Justice Hansen, looks like he's listed as probable for this game. So, you know what? There's baseball playoffs on Wednesday night, so I hate to derive off of this, but I probably won't have money on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I can't bet this game. But it is our first Wednesday game. And then also on Wednesday, you have NHL starts, so NHL opening night. If you are itching for action, we're going to have baseball playoffs and the start of NHL. So I don't think that you necessarily need to rush out to bet Arkansas State, Georgia Southern. On Thursday, we have one game, ranked matchup, two top 25 teams, Louisville at NC State. I believe this line got down to 3, and it's popped back up a little bit. Looks like Louisville might be taking some money here, or at least initially. What do you see here, Louisville, you know, between a 3 and 4 point favorite?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I released a CW9. I had NC State plus 3.5, and 3.5 is the number that's at Pinnacle right now, and Cantor and Westgate, and everybody else has got a 4 up there. Louisville's definitely taking in most of the money. Yeah, you know, they just got done putting a 55-point drumming on the Racers of Mary State. So I lean NC State in this, thus being at home, short week. Bradley Chubb, who I think the injury report has not been released yet. Is he out? Is he out for the season, out for the week? I have to – go ahead.
Out for the season? I didn't hear this. He's out for the season?
There may be Ed Oliver. I'm sorry. I'm getting my star defensive tackles mixed up. Ed Oliver for Houston is the one that's actually really hurt. But Chubb going up against the Heisman winner is definitely going to be the highlight of this game. It's probably going to be NC State or nothing for me in this.
Tend to agree. And then Friday we have two games this week. The aforementioned Memphis Tigers, the 3-1 Memphis Tigers, their first loss and, you know, they're blown out 40-13 at Central Florida. They're at UConn. UConn just continues to not play any defense at all. although their defense looked better, even though they gave up 49 against SMU, and they have a decent offense. Is this another game that shatters, or do you see anything here?
Well, I think you're getting a discount on Memphis because of what happened against UCF. Memphis is a quality team. I've got it. The Sunday morning coffee release number I put it in is UConn plus 17.5. So that means a 13.5 that you can currently find at Chris or at Pinnacle. You know, you can get some money on that because I definitely think that Memphis number should get to 14 and maybe even get up to 14.5 by the time we get closer to the game.
Perfect. So thanks for running through all of the weekday games with me and the games from last weekend. We'll take a deeper dive into Saturday's card on the podcast that we'll record on Wednesday night to be released on Thursday. Then, as always, look out for the CW9 on Friday, the six-pack on Saturday. And, you know, for any updated picks and odds, make sure that you have the Sports Action app downloaded and check in on there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you all soon. Cheers. Some sequins gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this time.